Okay, well, thanks everybody for coming. Today we're talking. It's kind of a different subject. The title is Knowledge versus Belief. It says you may know about God in the Bible, but do you really believe? Getting knowledge from your head to your heart is an important step in our spiritual growth process. Our actions correspond to what we believe, not what we know. Does that make any sense? And maybe it will when we get done here, because we know a lot of stuff. This is a lesson I wish I would have learned when I was your age. I spent a lot of time getting knowledge. I went to Ambassador College, read a lot of books in the Bible, but there's just a lot of knowledge, and it didn't really go from my head to my heart. So, and you'll figure out what we're talking about here. So. Knowledge can be defined as information or awareness gained through experience or education, right? You get a lot of knowledge going to school. They teach a lot of things. And that's knowledge, okay? To believe something is to have an influence, actions, and attitudes. If we believe something, it will change the way you view our life and live it. And this will make a little more sense as we go along. So what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. Because if you perceive God as an angry and judgmental God, then you're going to be rigid, judgmental, because you won't understand God's grace. If you believe God is a kind, loving, and forgiving God, then you will be kind, loving, and forgiving towards others. Right? Does that make sense? With the way I view God, sometimes the way I viewed my dad. My dad was a pretty strict guy, and he had his issues. And so you kind of see, do you guys ever do that? You kind of see God as the way you see your dad sometimes. And you guys ever experience that? So if you have a dad that's super nice or that's really loving, then that's the way you kind of view God. But if you have a dad that's pretty strict and ready to bust you if you're doing something wrong, then that's the way you kind of view God. Like, I'm just waiting for him to get me, Does that ever make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the way I kind of see it. So knowledge versus belief. Okay, so, the enemy wants to build strongholds of lies in your mind. Jesus wants to build strongholds of truth in your life. We are deceived because we equate what we know with what we believe. The two are very different. What we believe often gets covered up with knowledge. All behavior is based on belief, not on knowledge. So what we believe about God is reflected in what we believe about ourselves. So behavior is based on belief, not on knowledge. How we feel, not what we know. For example, here's an example I just was thinking of. You may know it's wrong to... how many of you guys are in public school? Quite a few. We got a few homeschoolers. Okay. All right. I remember in school, I knew it was wrong to look at somebody else doing it during a test. But, once in a while I would sneak over, sit by the side of a smart guy during a test. And you look over and, I got caught. But I knew it was wrong to do that because I was told it was wrong to do that. But I believed I wanted to get a better grade, so I looked anyway, even though I got in trouble. But if you it's wrong to lie or steal something, right? That's wrong. We've been taught that that's wrong. But if you really don't want to get caught at something, you may lie about it. Or if you really want something, you don't have the money for it, you may steal it. I'm not saying you guys are. But that's what happens out there. So you really believe that whatever you did is worth the risk of being caught. We may know it's wrong, but we do as we believe. We believe it's worth the risk to do some of the stupid things we do, right? Because even though we know in our head it's wrong, still we do stupid things. I'm guilty of it. So here's kind of an article I came across that kind of explains a little bit how belief drives behavior. We may say we believe something, but when forced to make a decision under pressure, we act in a manner contrary to what we say we believe. Our true beliefs are always revealed by our behavior. The following is a story that shows how true belief drives our behavior. So who's ever heard of the Great Blondin? Probably nobody. I didn't either. So in 1859, the Great Blondin, a man many considered to be one of the greatest tightrope walkers of all time, announced to the world that he intended to cross Niagara Falls on a rope. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? Cool. Is it a pretty neat place? Yeah, I've never been there. I've seen it on TV. You know, I've seen pictures. But so this is in 1859. The rope was nearly a quarter of a mile long and suspended 160 feet above the water. And the water's pretty rushing, isn't it, down there? Okay. So on June 30th, 1859, in front of thousands of spectators, the Great Blondin successfully crossed the falls. To make the crossing more spectacular, he effortlessly completed a backflip as he crossed the halfway point. Can you imagine that? He walked across a tight rope and then he did a backflip 165 feet above the water.
On a tight rope?
On a tight rope. So during the next year, Blondin crossed the falls 16 more times. Each time he set out to try even more daring feats. He crossed the rope blindfolded. Once he took breakfast on a stove in the middle of the rope. So he cooked himself breakfast in the middle on this tight rope. Blondin crossed in chains on stilts. Can you believe that? He crossed it on stilts. And once pedaling a bicycle. So on July 16th, 1859, Blondin set out to push a wheelbarrow over the rope. Before he began, he turned to the crowd and shouted, "Who believes that I can cross pushing the wheelbarrow?" So who believes, right? The crowd erupted in a massive cheer, and everyone agreed that he would be successful again that day. When he made it to the other side, he turned the wheelbarrow around and shouted to the people on that side, "Do you believe that I can push the wheelbarrow across with someone in it?" Again, the people shouted, "We believe, Blondin, we believe." So Blondin looked at the crowd and said, "Okay, who's going to get in the wheelbarrow? Let me push them across." The crowd grew deathly silent. There was no volunteers to be found. So it was one thing to know that Blondin could do what he said and believe that he could do it, but it was another to put their life in the hands of letting him carry them across the falls on a high wire. So true belief drives behavior. Does that make sense? So how many of you would get in the wheelbarrow? Ike would? So you put your... Yeah. I don't think I would either. I mean, even though I saw him cross and everybody said they believed he would do it, he could do it, I don't think I'd put myself in there. Kind of crazy. All right. I was reading an article about a Christian counselor, and she said, I'm always amazed when someone asks me for advice, counseling, prayer, what have you, and they tell me the dilemma, the trial, the situation. And when I give them what I believe the Word of God teaches, the more time than not, they will say, I know. You ever done that? People tell you something, you say, I know. I have a son that does that. Not you, but sometimes. EJA always says, I know. So if you know, why didn't you do it? The problem is not what you know, but what we believe. What we believe dictates what we do. And our actions are led, motivated, governed by what we believe. So what we know in plain terms doesn't mean anything. It's what you believe about what you know, or maybe about what you don't know, that is creating the life you now live. Whatever you do is not going to change anything for you unless your beliefs about yourself, about life in general, change. So I know this is kind of heavy stuff, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. Does that make any sense to anybody yet? No? I got a lot of dead faces out there. You see, what you believe controls 100% of who you are, and we have a bunch of doubt-filled people who know a lot about God and the Bible and yet don't really believe what he said, we're going to have problems. For example, you know, I know at least three times Jesus said, love one another in John. He said, and it's repeated about eight more times. But I don't always see a lot of people believing this, so they're not really doing that. I see, you know what I mean? He said to do it, and people say, I know I should do that, but they don't do that. I don't always see it. And I'm guilty also. People recite doctrine, theology, till they are blue in the face, but the truth of the matter is their actions reveal their beliefs and the level of fear, doubt, and anxiety that exists in the church today that shows me it can be a group of unbelievers, which is kind of odd. And I'm seeing some young people straying away from the truth that they grew up with. You know, I'm seeing some people that I've known since little people that have strayed away from what they know, but they believe something different now. You know, it's kind of sad to see. So they're leaving the church. A lot of them are going to church on Sunday now. So it's just they didn't get it from their head to their heart. So something changed them, or whatever it was. Some have gone to liberal colleges, and then they're definitely against God. And so I've seen some people that have twisted people's minds that said that, you know, there is no God or whatever it is. And some people believe it that have grew up in the church. So outside influences, the pulls and cares of the world can draw us away from what we are taught or even know. We believe things will be better if we follow the world, not God's ways. God's ways are not always the cool worldly ways, not the crowd ways, right? So that's, you know, I'm just seeing that in a lot of young people, and I just don't want that to happen. You know, this is, and I'm not saying that people won't come back. You know, people, young people want to probably experience the world, go out a little bit and check it out. And God's the author and perfecter of our faith, not your parents. You know, so it just, you guys just stay close to God, and just, you know, I know it's tempting out there. There's a lot of cool things out there in the world, but nothing like, you know, being close to God and obeying Him. So, you know, it's so easy to forget about God's presence and power when we face uncertain and difficult times. I've had several tough times in my life, and I know many of you have and will have in the future. Some hard times. You know, my parents divorced when I was 10, and that was super hard. My mom, a little bit later, we were living in Phoenix at the time, and my mom and dad were battling over custody over us. I have two brothers, and so from Phoenix, she came to school one day, said I was going to the dentist, and I ended up in West Virginia. So she stole us and kind of took away from my dad. So I didn't see my dad for about a year. And at that time, they didn't have kids' faces on milk cartons like they do now. So we were kind of missing. And then my dad, several years ago, when Joanna was a baby, my dad committed suicide. And my little brother, a few years ago, died of a heart attack. So those are hard things in life that happen, and he died. So my little brother, he's 2 years younger than me. So those are the hard things in life that really test your faith. You know what I mean? You really question, is God there? And does He care? You know? And so I know all of you have gone through some hard things, and trust me, you will. In the future also. So our faith falters and we doubt that God is with us, sometimes even doubting that He is real and who He says He is. God knew we would struggle with unbelief and has spoken reassuring words to us through the Bible. When you begin to doubt, read some of these verses about believing and praying that God will renew your heart and mind toward what He says, who He says He is and who He says you are. Be encouraged as you see God move through all circumstances of your life to grow your faith. So it's super easy nowadays. I see most of you had phones now. If you're not, you have access to computers. So, you know, just type in scriptures about believing or faith or, you know, There's all kinds of them like that. One I like is 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. There's a lot of scriptures about belief. 1 Timothy 4:10, that's why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Remember the story about Thomas? Christ said, you know, when Christ was crucified and returned, there was a guy named Doubting Thomas, right? Because he doubted. They all said, hey, he's alive. He goes, he witnessed Christ being crucified and tortured, and he said, and he didn't believe that Christ would come alive. But when Christ came back, he said, here, put your finger here in my side. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. So that's kind of why he got the nickname Doubting Thomas. He doubted that, and Christ even told him he's going to come back in 3 days, but he didn't believe that either. I have a lot more scriptures, but what are some of the doubts you guys have sometimes? Anybody want to open up?
Like I always tell my sister, I'm like cooler than her, but she doesn't believe me.
She doesn't believe you? Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
I have about everybody.
Yeah?
That's my doubt. Like,
what's that, bud?
I just have a, you know, everyone has a thought, is God actually real?
Yeah.
Is that, it runs through your head once in a while. Like, is it just a book, or is, you know, there actually is someone out there?
Right. Well, just a minute, David. Yeah, just so that's a good one, because who's here has seen God? No one? No one. So, yeah, it's just like we haven't seen him, so that's where we have to have faith and belief, right? You got to believe it, or else you're not going to go his way. Yeah. And we have an enemy out there in the world that says, hey, this is cool, man. Check out the world. You know, it's... So that's a great example. David, would you?
Sometimes I just have trouble, like, believing that, like, God can come back for us, you know? Like, to resurrect us and everything.
Right.
I just don't know. I'm just not at the point to believe in that yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't have enough faith for it.
Yeah. Well, that happens. And so, you know, when some people say, that even the Bible said that, you know, God's delaying his coming. So I have plenty of time, right? I can live my life and do whatever I want, but...
And, yeah,
that's right. You never know when you're going to die. Also, he said he'll come back when you least expect it. So, you know, if we knew, that's probably why we don't know exactly when he's going to return. Because if we knew, we'd wait like the day before, right? Human nature would be kind of like a test, right? You wait till the day before to prepare for it or an essay. You shouldn't, but that's kind of the way I did it. I kind of pulled an all-nighter the night before and wrote my essays in college and... But if we knew that Christ was going to return this at some exact date,
he's still gonna know your heart.
Yeah.
If you're just gonna do it right, if he would know that you just got scared that he's coming back and you're trying to, like, prepare yourself.
Right.
You don't know that it's gonna be the target.
Yeah, exactly. Because there was a parable of, you know, the ten virgins, right? Five of them were ready, and five of them weren't. And their other five are saying, hey, give us some of your oil, or, you know, some of your Holy Spirit, whatever it was that they had. And it was too late, right? The doors were locked and they couldn't get in. So that's kind of a warning to exactly what you're saying. Sergey, you had a...
Yeah, I was just going to, like, say, like, we have, like, way more power to, like, believe in God, like, once, like, we all together, you know, believers, we all together, we have bigger power. But, like, once we go to real world, it's so much harder. Like, once now I'm in college, you know, it's, like, thousands of people that, like, don't even know who God is. Like, it's just way harder, like, to believe in God that way, you know?
That's hard, buddy. Yeah, it is. Because when you're surrounded by church people, it's a lot easier, right, to do the right thing. But when you're out in the world, you're kind of, And your situation, you're probably the only one out there that believes like we believe. And so it's hard, man. People probably, I don't know if they make fun of you, but, you know, people are wondering, you know, this guy's odd, man. He goes to church on Saturday. You know, he does this thing. He goes away for a week. Yeah, that's hard.
And like school stuff, like football games and stuff is always on like Friday nights, yeah, or Saturdays, you know? It's like hard to miss out.
It is.
Yeah, like same thing for my soccer season. I'm gonna miss like 5 games this season.
Five because of
Because of the atonement and the crystal and no, what was it?
Trumpets, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and the feast. That is hard. But you know what? God's going to, he rewards us. You know, he's test us and he rewards us. You know, even us adults have trouble sometimes. Some people have trouble getting off work. I'm self-employed, so I don't get paid if I don't work. So I'm missing, you know, all these days of not getting paid, but I trust God will take care of us, you know, and he will if we put our trust in him and believe he's going to take care of us. So, Michael, can I pick on you a minute? Yes. So, you're almost done with college, right?
Yeah.
So, how did you handle it? You've been through, you're almost done now, right? So, did you go away to college or from home? Yeah. Did you? Okay. So is it hard being kind of the only one out there?
It's different.
Yeah.
I mean, I found that most of my friends don't care. They don't judge me for it. I don't know. I don't think. But I mean, like most professors, last year I had some problems with professors. I kind of prayed about it, and they finally let me go. Then this year I came back to the same professors to ask off again. We already know that we're not going to stop you from going.
Right.
But I mean, like, I'm in a major that has a lot of, I guess, atheists and unbelievers, and they have all these beliefs about the Big Bang.
Yep.
All the everything is in the Bible isn't true and things like that. And I always get a lot of doubt just from being around them with all the discussion that they'll have and the things that they'll teach me and.
That's hard, man. Yeah. Yeah, I admire you. That's what I was talking about earlier. I said, you know, there's been a lot of, not a lot, some young people I know that happened. They just forgot about God. I mean, they believe their professors and not what they were taught. And so they're no longer keeping these kind of the Sabbath holy days, you know, in God's ways or the commandments. Most people keep 9 commandments, right? No one, there's really, you know, we're not going to murder or lie or steal. And so 9 of them are pretty easy to keep. But it's always that 4th commandment, right? That's the hard one. And that's what people don't understand. And some, you know, the holy days, and people just don't get it, why we do that. So thank you for that, yeah. And I know some of you are going to go off to college, probably. You're going off to college, right? So. Yeah, it's going to be hard, yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. 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 It's exciting, but yeah, you can do it. I mean, it's, I didn't have to, I didn't come into the church till I was 24, so. And then I went to Ambassador College, which was easy because that was part of the church back then, you know, so. You know, everybody does it that way. They did back then, so. But, you know, talking about knowledge and belief, I'll pick on Ike a little bit. But, you know, Ike was in the hurricane there in North Carolina. His camp was right in the eye of the hurricane. And so they asked him to, anybody that could evacuate can go. And I have some relatives, we have relatives that live pretty close to there, but they're inland more. So he didn't have to be there during the eye of the storm. And, anyway, how long were you there, Ike?
Week and a half.
Week and a half. So he was off base a week and a half, and when that hurricane hit, and then he went back, and he had already had planned to come here. He had his tickets bought and everything, and And we didn't think there was no way they're going to let him after having a week and a half off and now taking his leave time that he wanted. And originally they said no. They said all hands on deck, right? Because they wanted everybody to clean up, you know, around there because after the hurricane there. And so this is a lesson on faith and believing. So we had some clothes at our house that he wanted us to bring here, but they already said no, so we didn't even bring them. We just left them at the house because they said, shoot, you know, we just were bummed. We'd all been praying about it that he could come in our church group, and we prayed several times, but we got the word from his uppers that he could not come, and so we just left everything there. And then, anyway, big surprise, we showed up and he's here. So we didn't have the faith. Something changed his mind. So God can do miracles. I believe it was a miracle from God that they allowed him to take his leave 12 hours before, but we don't always know God's timing, but they let him go, and he's here. So we were surprised and excited, but we didn't have the faith to bring his stuff because we didn't think it was going to happen. There's a ton of scriptures. I don't want to do them all of these, but I've started reading. These things are called prophetic promises every morning, and it's good to get these from my mind to my heart. This is, if you really believe these promises, it will change everything in my life. If I truly believe how much God loves us and cares for us, we can handle any situation life throws at us. So what I've been doing is when I have a scripture that I really like that really hits home, one of my favorites is 1 John 3:1. And these are what they are, just little cards I write down. And every morning I read these. Just they're called promises that I just want to get from my mind to my heart. 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what you are." And he has an exclamation point. So we're all children of God. We're his children. And if we really believe that, I think it would change everything. You know, we are truly the sons of God, the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. You know, we may think it's neat to be a son of an earthly king. You know, you see Prince Charles and all those guys over in England, they're sons of a king or a queen. And they live a pretty cool life, right? Pretty plush life. But we are the sons of the God who created everything in this world, in this universe. You know, does that really sink in? It's hard for it to sink in for me. Do you guys really believe that? No, I don't see any heads shaking. Huh?
Depends on the day.
Good answer. Yeah. All right. So that's a good one I like. Another one I like is Romans 8:28. And we know all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So I've done a lot of stupid things in my life. You know, I regret, but all the things I talked about, the hard things, but God works those all together for good, for his purpose for us. So just remember that when hard things happen, you know, he's in control. He knows what's going on. You know, he knows what's going on in your life. Another one, there's a lot of good ones. Isaiah 40:31. "But those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteous right hand." And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to walk around with shame and guilt weighing us down. You know? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. You know, you guys have experienced this coming from Ukraine, right? You know, you've had, God's given you a new life here. You know, I'm sure it was hard coming, but it's going to be, this is what you're experiencing now is nothing compared to what you're going to experience. What about you guys? Does anybody have a favorite scripture they like that they kind of hold on to that keeps them going? No? No? There's got to be somebody.
Psalms 1:1 is pretty good.
What's that one? Go ahead and read it. Right? Psalms 1:1. Cool. Good. That's really good. How many of you now have made the commitment to be baptized? Or how many of you are baptized now? 3, 4, 5? 5 of you have been baptized now. And that's a huge commitment. So, you know, the rest of you have God working with you, but they have God in them. We all have, the ones that have been baptized and had hands laid on them. So God's actually working in them now. God, he said, I'll make my home in you. So that's pretty cool. I mean, does it make life peachy king now? Is it easy now? No? Sometimes it's harder, isn't it? More tests, but God, you know, he's with you. He's going to take you through it. So that's something to strive for the rest of us, for the rest of you guys that haven't been baptized yet. What else? Any other scriptures you guys like?
So, like you said, is it easy being Christian? Like, a lot of people ask the question, you know, is it easy being Christian? But, like, if you really think about it, Christian is not like the definition of being perfect, you know?
Right.
You go through that with being human.
Right. No, good point. Yeah. Yeah, you know. And I've heard that, you know, the advantage of being a Christian is that we can be forgiven for. So, but yeah, we it doesn't keep us from, you know, we're hoping it would, we would not do stupid things, but, you know, it happens. You know, we are still, we have that human nature in us, as Paul said, you know, we're still fighting that human nature in us, but, so it's, yeah, this life is different. It's to really walk this way, to walk that, you know, that narrow road, it's a hard road. It can be. But we have, you know, all the help in the world. I mean, and the universe. We have the king of the universe helping us. So that's kind of a cool deal. You know, I don't have a lot else, guys. I had a lot of scriptures, but I don't want to go through them all. So what I want to do is I want to give you guys just kind of an example. Take a couple, whatever color you like, and take some of these. And as you go through the week, if you hear a scripture you really like, something that really touches your life that you think, man, I like that. That's something I want to hold on to. Because you'll hear a lot of scriptures quoted, and you'll see them. Some people take notes. You know, some people have little notebooks they take notes, but Take some of these, as many as you want, and write down some this during this feast and kind of read them every day. It kind of help you to get through the rest of the times when you're not together. So Take some of those and pass them around. Whatever color you like. There's some. Just take them out, guys. So. All right. What time we got? 9:41. So we got a lot of time, guys. I'm about done, so I didn't have a lot of information. But what else is what's on your mind? What do you guys? What are some of the hard things you guys are going through? Maybe that's a good one. Anybody want to open up and tell us?
And just like I said, the high school stuff.
Yeah. Because you're a senior this year, right?
Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah. And I know everybody has their own different battles. Isaac, I know you have your battles in the Marines. You know, there's not a lot of guys living the godly way, is there? You probably see a lot of stuff, hear a lot of stuff. And it's not God's way, but you know, we can stand out and be different. It's hard, but no one wants to be the oddball in school, right? So, Natalie, how's things going with you for school right now? Because you changed from a Christian school to a public school. Is it harder?
No, because my friends from the Christian school came too. So it's easier, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. How's school in Germany? And what grade are you in now?
I'm a senior here.
Okay.
And in Germany, I'm in 12th grade.
Okay. And have you seen a lot of difference between the school in Germany and here in the United States?
Yeah, it is different.
Is it
better,
worse, or just different?
Just different, I would say. It's not better and it's not worse, but
yeah. You know, I was public schooled, and you know, it wasn't as the things I hear nowadays, we didn't have school shootings. We didn't have any of that stuff back then. The worst would be someone got stabbed with a fork, you know, or something.
Fork?
Well, at lunch, you know, or someone had a fight, and or after at a football game or something, they would. Yeah, but there was nothing like that. So times have changed. Things have gotten really different. I mean, we homeschool, so Ike's been homeschooled his whole life, and so are the girls. They're homeschooled. So, you know, they just don't know what it's like to be out in the public school setting. Ike's experiencing the world now more in the Marines, what's going on out there. But it's tough out there. The way or maybe it's not. Do you guys, is it hard at school? Is it? Yeah.
Because they were too strict at the Christian school.
They were too strict?
Yeah, like if you talked in class or something, that you'd have to like 5 detentions.
Wow.
They had something against Blake.
Oh, okay. They didn't like that. Yeah, you only had a couple.
They
only had a couple guys there. Yeah. But you know, it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I know they. The difference is, it's you could talk about God probably in the Christian school, right? But now you can't. They can't even mention God. Thank you. All right, everybody's getting bored now. We're building cards, so. All right, guys. Well, thank you guys for. Anybody else have any other comments or anything else? We can get out early today. What do you guys think? Well, real quick, what do you think? I mean, do you understand that concept of knowledge versus belief now? Does that make a little more sense? Yeah, so.
Wait, is that the, you mean like the thing you go with your church or whatever, where you like sit in a chair or like you stand up in a chair and what, like the kid can hold me up and then you sit and then you're like,
I can do it. Right. That's the way Andy Laws describes it. So how's he do it, Blake? Show me. Show us. Here's how he says it.
So he's like, all right, I think the chair can hold me up,
Right. So he's experiencing it, right? Yeah, you think the chair can hold you up, but until you sit in it, it makes you...
There you go.
Yeah. I have a good example.
Yeah.
So in boot camp, we have a thing. We have this big wall, probably like 100 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
Taller. And we have to belay down. It's one of the requirements to graduate. And everyone knows this rope can hold like 1,000 pounds. Everyone knows this drill instructors are the professionals, and they know how to get you down safely. But as soon as people get to the edge of the wall and look down, they would start freaking out. They wouldn't believe that this rope would hold them the way down. So you had a safety harness on. You had people down there to catch you. You had gloves on when you grabbed the rope, so you wouldn't burn your hands and let go.
Right.
You had a helmet on. You had every safety requirement you could think of. But people, as soon as they get to that wall and they look down, they freak out. Start grabbing them whatever they could, so they didn't believe. They know it would hold them, but they wouldn't believe that it would hold them.
Right.
Did you freak out?
Mm-hmm. Oh no! Oh, the first one to go, first one down.
Cool. Yeah, you know, you got that from. I was a high-rise window cleaner during high school and college. That's how I made some extra money. So, and in the summers, so we do these, you know. 40, 50-story buildings, and same thing. Your life depends on these two. There's two ropes. There's a safety rope, and you're the one that you just let yourself down. You start at the top, and you work your way down. You just kind of go, you know, all the way down, then you take an elevator back up and come down again on the next row. So you would do that all the way around. But, yeah, you have to believe that that rope is going to hold you, that it's going to hold your life. So... Right.
When
you're
just leaning back off the rock.
That's it. We had a thing called a Bozeman chair you sit on, and then the ropes are tied to that, but then you have to lean back. That's how you start going down. You have to just, once you lean back, you know, you're committed, because then you have a 50-pound bucket of all your tools on the side here, and once you go, you're just got to commit and go. And so, anyway, yeah, that's a great example of knowledge versus belief. Yeah. So, and I'm sure you had a lot of other good examples there. All right, guys, thanks for participating. I know this is a pretty heavy subject, but I wish you really would do that. It's really good stuff to do these promises. It's something that you really like. It'll help you. So thanks, guys.